So welcome back, folks. Today I just want to talk about there's a few stories in the news that came out today that I want to talk about. And one of the things that I did not realize was in the Washington Post today, and it came out 5 hours ago. And here's the story. It actually goes into unemployed workers are hit with another shock. Many owe the government money for health insurance. And I did not realize this. But this is just something that underscores the need to get this bill done. There's so many facets to the way people have been injured in this COVID crisis. And this one goes on about a preschool teacher named Michelle Ryan was nearly in tears when she filled out her 2020 taxes, which is something we're all doing right now, and learned she owes the government more than $3,100 despite being unemployed for a significant portion of last year. She owes about $1,000 in unemployment income taxes, which, by the way, if you do get unemployment, please elect to have the state, if they give you the chance, to take the taxes out of it. But the bulk of her tax bill, which comes to about $2,100, is to repay the government some of the health insurance subsidy she received to buy health insurance last year. And according to the government, she earned too much money on unemployment, and it was more money than she would have made as a preschool teacher, and it bumped her into a different income bracket that reduced her Affordable Care Act insurance subsidy. She's desperate to obviously keep her health insurance in the middle of this pandemic, and she's now trying to figure out how to pay this bill. And they quote her as saying, "Where do I come up with all this money to pay them back during the pandemic?" She's evidently 50. She lives in Bergen County, New Jersey. And she's saying, what did they expect us to do, drop Obamacare during the pandemic? So this evidently is quite prevalent. The story says here in the Washington Post that Ryan is among millions of Americans encountering surprisingly large tax bills in the midst of a global health crisis. And she's finally going back to work evidently, but she says she doesn't have the $3,100 she used with savings she had to move from Pennsylvania to New Jersey when a job opened up in her field. They're just trying to get back on their feet evidently. But the thing about this, folks, is that, and I'm kind of shocked at this, that Congress saw this coming. Let's say the Democrats in Congress saw this coming. So what they did, they're trying to fix this so low-income Americans don't drop their health insurance because they can't afford it. The $1.9 trillion stimulus package that is expected to pass by mid-March would forgive these tax bills for people who owe the government money for their 2020 health insurance subsidy. They would still have to pay taxes on unemployment income, of course, but they would not have to pay back the insurance subsidy credit. So that just puts a whole new facet on what's going on with COVID and how urgent it is to get this thing passed. And it sort of makes what Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin is doing sort of pathetic, trying to delay the bill, forcing the staffers in the Senate to read the bill, which took, what, almost 10 hours? And then you've got stuff like this going on. He doesn't see the need. And, you know, a lot of people are making fun of Joe Biden for saying that, you know, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is thinking like a Neanderthal for opening the state back up and this kind of thing. Well, it's prevalent in the Republican Party. I mean, you've got a lot of Neanderthal thinking that's going on, and Ron Johnson is the worst. He celebrates Neanderthal thinking, for God's sakes. So, folks, that is a huge thing that just makes it critically urgent that we get this thing passed. Now, the next story is that, remember, March 4th was supposed to be when Donald Trump was going to get sworn back in, you know, according to QAnon. Well, Newsweek has got the story where it says, tiny group of QAnon supporters spotted in D.C. awaiting the Trump inauguration that never came. So this was a big deal for them. Evidently, a handful of followers turned up at the Capitol on March 4th yesterday, believing that he was going to be inaugurated. Four people showed up, the small group. They flew out there from California to witness what they thought was going to be a historic day for QAnon. Oh, God. And they're quoted as saying, every day that we're here, we'll probably come out around noon to see if anything transpires. Karen Carson, 52, told Reuters, if this doesn't happen, we'll obviously be sad because it didn't happen while we were here, but we believe that it will happen. It just hasn't happened yet. It's so pathetically sad. It's like, why do people fall for this? And there they are. There's a picture of them, you know, and God bless them. They're clutching their American flags. They got their hands crossed like, all right, yeah, what's going on? You know, waiting for it, you know, something that never came. But there they were. It's kind of sad. And then, folks, we had this story from The Hill. Did you realize that a Detroit mayor has declined the Johnson & Johnson vaccine shipment? This mayor, and I want you to see a picture of him right there. There he is. He said that he's defending, and he's a Democrat, evidently. He's defending his decision to reject a shipment of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, saying in a press conference yesterday that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are better, and he wants Detroit residents to get the best. So evidently, Neanderthal thinking isn't just something that's restricted to Republicans here. You know, here's a Democrat. So Duggan has turned down 6,200 doses of the J&J vaccine, which last weekend became the third approved, obviously, emergency authorization by the Food and Drug Administration. The mayor said that this week, the city received 29,000 doses of the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna inoculations, which he said was enough to vaccinate every resident. So who is so far eligible to receive the vaccine and wanted one. But there's a lot of people out there that could use this. In fact, I would take the J&J vaccine. It's a one-and-done shot. And all of these shots will keep you out of the hospital. I mean, doesn't he watch MSNBC or CNN? I mean, this is all over the news. This is all over the news, that one shot will keep you out of the hospital. Oh, boy. So he's just trying to get the best vaccine, and he's falling flat. It's just it's a joke. I don't know how people like this can lack so much common sense, folks. I really don't understand it. Will he get elected next time? I hope in the lens of history that he doesn't get reelected. But here's another story, folks. This is Kayleigh McEnany. Remember her? Remember Kayleigh? There she is. Yes, always smiling, and she's always got that sycophant smile, you know, that, I don't want to get started on this, but she's the former press secretary, and she's surprised that Biden hasn't held a solo press conference so far. So this is what she's saying about it.
Let me get some comment here on the president's failure so far.
Big smile.
To hold a formal news conference. He's going to have to hold a news conference at some point, isn't he?
Absolutely. The pressure's mounting when you have even left-wing outlets calling him out for this, but I would say it's...
What left? Who's calling him out for it? I don't care if he holds a press conference or not. My God, they've got Jennifer Psaki every day, isn't it? That she goes out and holds a press conference? I mean, what...
Extraordinary that he hasn't taken questions. Certainly 100-year record for not taking
questions
in a solo press conference from a sitting president. But this is not unprecedented, because as you'll recall, Stuart, the basement strategy is what he employed on the campaign trail. He went something like 50 days and he only took questions twice. And when he did, they were handpicked questions.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
So I think his staff does not have faith that he can...
You know, first of all, I should have said this about Kayleigh. I mean, she spreads lies like mayonnaise at a church picnic. You know, I mean, she just lays it on, and was doing that throughout the whole Trump administration.
And at the podium and have a press conference the way President Trump did many times.
They're protecting him. It seems to me they are protecting the president from himself.
Oh, come on.
They don't want to see him stumble over words, get confused, lose his train of thought, as he may well do if he was
You know, this is playing into that whole thing where they say that he's not in control, he doesn't know what he's doing. And folks, it was just, what, a month ago where we had Steve Bannon came out and said, you know what, I think Donald Trump has got dementia. Why don't you, Stuart Varney, why don't you go talk to Steve Bannon and ask him why he thought that Donald Trump had early stages of dementia? This is a guy that was with him all the time, right? Steve Bannon, he's got no reason to say anything malevolent about Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump pardoned him, right? I mean, these are the facts, Stuart.
Object to the rough and tumble of a real press conference. They're protecting him, I think.
I think that's exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned his staff, because as you saw President Biden say right there, he said, I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do. I've seen him joust back and forth in one interaction with Peter Ducey, and he seemed to kind of relish the moment a little. So I don't think this is President Biden saying, I don't want to do this. I think it's those around him recognizing when he does speak, it doesn't always turn out so well, like calling Republicans on.
Yeah, like Donald Trump. It always doesn't turn out so well, right? I mean, that's why Donald Trump is sleeping in Mar-a-Lago tonight and Joe Biden is sleeping in the White House. Folks, thanks for listening, and until next time.